Time now for our weekly chat in between the pipes. It's Crease Lightning with Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Woodley, welcome back to the show, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, a couple extra seconds of the intro music got me all pumped up, ready to go.
I know. Well, you've been asking for a little bit longer music, so we gave it to you today. So.
Less me is a good thing, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. Let's get a goalie equipment update from the last chat. A few specific changes, especially for the timeline. Let's start there.
Yeah, no, I think, we didn't. The news kind of came out of the GM's meetings that they were moving forward with changes to chest and arm and pants, and we haven't talked since then. So, the first thing that I would say is there was a lot of excitement that came out of that meeting and a lot of stories, frankly, that made it seem like this was new, which kind of surprised me. This is a process that started last summer. The goal was always to have these changes made for next season, and I think this was more of a, you know, thumbs up from the general manager on the path they've taken, and let's keep it moving forward. And the good news is having it in the headlines allowed me to dig a little bit deeper with the equipment companies and get an update on that side. And you know, what we're really talking about here is, and the biggest challenge is rounding off the shoulders, getting away from a lot of the square edges without kind of compromising protection, and making the width of that shoulder protection adjustable, so that guys that have shoulders that go 18 inches across aren't wearing the same protection as a guy who's wearing, you know, who has shoulders that go 25 inches across. And that's a pretty big exaggeration in terms of the size of some of these guys. But, you know, honestly, there are a few where that comparison could be made, where the differences are that big. And so that will be one of the changes, the arms, the way they taper those. You're going to see elastics in the pants. Equipment companies are trying to get that figured out because you don't want things to tear. But rather than belts and laces and buckles that frankly have been undone more and more over the past couple of years, you see goalies not just wearing pants that might be too big for them, but not doing them up in any way, shape, or form, just putting suspenders on to hold them over their shoulders and leaving them completely loose and letting them sit as wide as possible at the waist. Elastics around through that waist area and even into the front of the pants is part of what the NHL is after here. And you know, the big difference on the timeline to me, and this is where, you know, I saw a lot of things that kind of accused the manufacturers, a lot of stories that talked about the manufacturers delaying the process and not being able to get it done in time for the next season and that being laid at their feet. And the reality is this is a major process. Some of these pieces of equipment have as much as 150 different parts in them that have to be, dies and cuts that have to be changed in the manufacturing process. The problem in the past really was these decisions would be made at the meetings around the draft, around the award ceremonies, and now you're into almost July before you make the decisions on what you're going to change, and then you ask the equipment companies to turn it over and have it in the hands of guys. And in past years, we've seen if you're not a number one or a number two, the number three guys were still waiting on equipment after training camp had started. And that's not enough notice for guys to make adjustments in their game, to feel confident, to feel safe in new equipment. They need time to test this out. And chest and arms is going to be a huge one. This year, they've been working since last summer. They've had the cooperation of the working group with Schneider and Dubnyk and Holtby. They've got a design in place, and the manufacturers are already working on it. So instead of training camp, goalies should have this stuff around June, and that's going to be important. I know goalies that wear chest and arm protectors that are like 3 years old. Talked to Jake Allen the other day. His is 3 years old. He doesn't think it's going to need to be changed because it's not a big piece. It's not a bulky piece. He wears it tight to his body already. But if the shoulder flaps are made illegal, he's going to have to alter. And there's a reason he wears a piece of equipment that's 3 years old. He's comfortable in it. So moving away from that is a process. It's not an overnight process. So guys like that are going to really, even though they're not, you know, necessarily one of the guys that was too big, even the guys that are wearing stuff that was suitably sized, they're still going to need time to adjust if they're forced to change their equipment model, change the way their equipment fits. And we're talking about going from, you know, there's probably 17 different models of chest protector that these guys can choose from, you know, over the past 3 or 4 years. You're basically going to probably go down to one or two models per equipment manufacturer, maybe as few as three different models to choose from. And just from a comfort and fit standpoint and feeling good and kind of feeling protected in the net, there's going to be an adjustment.
Kevin Woodley joins us. I spoke to Cam Talbot at length about that, and he said it's likely going to be more psychological for guys than anything else. He goes, I have complete faith that what they make is going to be safe. It's just whether or not you feel safe in it. And so he says, really, it's just going to come down to the players just making sure they're mentally focused and not trying to find excuses, because when the season starts next year and you allow a goal, it can either go two ways. You can sit there and say to yourself, under my old equipment, I wouldn't allow that. Or you let it go. And Cam Talbot told me he thinks that's going to be the biggest challenge for goalies.
Yeah, and the only way you can get to that point where you trust your coverage is to have it a little early. I don't think it's fair to ask these guys to establish that trust in the protection side of things if they're not getting it until the training, until training camp starts in some cases in years past. And that's why, why I applaud the effort of Kay Whitmore this time to get the goalies on board and to be this far ahead of it. Again, it's not the manufacturers. It's the fact they were usually forced to wait until July to start making changes. Well, they're already making these changes. Talbot, interestingly enough, though, we all remember the Corey Hirsch presentation. The chest and arm that Corey Hirsch used and chopped away from was the one that Cam Talbot used to use, but felt like there wasn't enough protection and left him black and blue in the arms, and he actually switched this year to a Bauer model. So, just because it looks good on TV doesn't mean it's going to be safe or feel safe for everyone.
And I think people should expect, it's not like the goalies are going to come on, and I know you saw the Corey Hirsch video, and I liked a lot of what he said, and it shrunk a lot, but it's not going to shrink that much. Like, we're not going to see goalies next year in training camp and into the preseason be like, oh my God, there's 6 square inches of more net.
No, and that's a big thing. A lot of the guys and the manufacturers too feel like this isn't going to be a big deal and worry a little bit that it's been oversold. I think there are a lot of people that came out of that meeting or read the reports out of that meeting and thought we were kind of talking about Corey Hirsch level of changes. I don't think it's going to be that drastic. And yet, if the sizing chart is as tight as they would like to make it, for some guys it could look very different. For the guys who really aren't that big underneath all that equipment, you could see noticeable differences, especially to me, again, through the waist of the pants and into the legs, if those are wrapped tighter than they have been in the past. And again, the front of the legs rounded off instead of squared off. Those are things you're going to notice. I don't think it's going to be the changes everyone wants. That's the other thing. Everybody talks about athleticism. I heard a lot of general managers talk about athletic goaltending. And I really think they believe that, and I heard the comparisons. Max Pacioretty talking about Brodeur. To them, athleticism is reaching saves, whether it's with the glove or with the blocker or, like sort of diving, athletic.
Yeah, out of position.
Desperation. That's not going to change. You make the equipment smaller, goalies are going to work even harder to make sure they put their chest between the middle of the net and the puck. At the end of the day, reaching with a glove is never going to be as good as putting your body behind it. And that's how the athleticism has changed in goaltending. Never before has a generation of goaltenders been taught like this one to move more of their torso more efficiently, faster, more effectively in front of that puck than they are now. They just don't reach. They put their body in front of it. And that will actually increase, I believe, as the equipment gets smaller. You could even make them faster in those movements. So I just don't think it's not going to bring back desperation saves. The only thing that's going to bring back desperation or more desperation saves is a game that's open enough to put goalies in more desperate positions more often. If they can read it and they can beat that pass to the next spot, they're going to do it, and they're going to put their chest in front of everything they can, just like they have for the last 10 years.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Crease Lightning, we talk all things goaltending. Oilers take on Arizona. Mike Smith hadn't played in a few months. He came in to Edmonton, had a 44 as a save performance, was victorious. They've got him. They've got Louis Domingue, and you've got Lindback. And, Domingue, since he came in, man, he was basically an NHL starting goaltender playing all their games for almost 3 months.
Yeah, and probably a little too much. I was going to say too much too soon, but probably not too soon, because he was really good in the beginning, kind of single-handedly kept them in the playoff race for a while, slipped a little bit, and we've talked about that before, Jason. That's understandable. First time you get the job as the guy, it doesn't take long usually before that routine of playing every other night starts to cost you the practice time that was keeping you sharp between starts as a backup. So it's a different process. It's an adjustment he had to get through. And let's face it, not a great team in front of him. But he's made a statement this year. He said to me early in that run, I feel like an NHL goaltender this year. He didn't feel that way last year. He was just kind of brought up late, thrown into spot starts. He just had a different mentality this year, and we've talked about how mental the game can be, and he seems to have kind of discovered a confidence level to match what is a really technically sound game. He's not flashy, he's not spectacular, but he's also, like we just talked about, rarely out of position. He moves very efficiently, quickly, puts himself, he's got kind of really good edge control, the way he moves around his crease and lower body, and the way he's able to get from side to side laterally and kind of maintain, get rotation and maintain squareness. He does a lot of things really well, and you add that mental confidence, and yeah, it's a real positive for the Coyotes, an organization that has been plagued between the pipes. And now the question mark, of course, is what do they have in Mike Smith? And they really wanted to get that answer this year. They bring in his longtime personal goaltending coach, John Elkin, to work with him throughout this season. And there's been signs. There's been signs of the guy who earned this contract. He just hasn't been healthy enough, long enough, to see, you know, which one. There's been the other signs too, right? So which one is it? And for an organization that's going to have to make decisions in the next little while in terms of the ticket that Mike Smith is on, and do you consider buying him out? I think they want to see a lot more from him, a lot more of him down the stretch here to kind of before they make that decision, because you go into the year after that, and, you know, we talk about expansion drafts, and I would argue that there's going to be other teams with decisions to make too, but Louis Domingue, if he continues to evolve, could be a guy that other teams might target if you leave him exposed.
Kevin Woodley joins us. Kevin, we got a few questions from texters wondering in regards to what is considered goaltending equipment. You know, some goalies with the underarm spandex add a little padding here or there. Will that be considered, or is that totally separate?
That is something that I don't believe is going to be part of these rule changes, but it's definitely something that is on the radar, let's put it that way, of the people responsible for sort of policing goaltending in the NHL. It's not a new thing. We've seen it as far back as Carey Price, where in the, you know, had the, I can't remember the brand, but it had the little square padding all around the neck area. There's no question that some of that equipment, especially when you see kind of raised ridges, to me, above, on top of the shoulders,
yes,
and kind of in towards the neck. I got to be frank. It's hard to argue that that's there to protect you from impact. That's where equipment's going to sit up on top of it. Can it provide a bit of that air cushion? And Ryan Miller talked about that this week. Air cushion is an important part of this conversation. They are also going to have tighter jerseys again next year to kind of try and suck this equipment that they're changing closer to the body. And there is some fear over losing that air gap, because without it, you're going to feel a lot more of these shots right against sensitive areas and ribs. But you know, I wear a Bauer one myself that has really good collarbone protection with a material called Poron. So it's a soft, cushy material, but I could take a hockey stick. I've tested it. You put it on your forearm and whack yourself with a stick, and it really absorbs all the impact. If that's in the collarbone and in the neck and over the sternum, hey, ribs, that's protection. And I really do believe that's protection. But as soon as you start to see it sitting on top of the shoulders, you know, I think you could make an argument that that's just holding up the rest of your protection higher up than it would otherwise.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine joins us. Kevin, we get closer to the playoffs now and the need for goaltenders. We saw what happened in Philadelphia with an injury, and they've got four back-to-back sets, I think, in their final 12 games. So
that's going to hurt, yeah.
That's definitely going to hurt them. The San Jose Sharks brought in Reimer to give them some depth in goal behind Martin Jones, who's clearly their number one. And Reimer's looked very good. Reimer on the free agent market, right? Is he a number one goalie in your mind, or is he a number one goalie who can split duties?
I think in a perfect world, he's the 1A, right? I think he is capable behind the right team with the right structure, and you're starting to see that in San Jose. I mean, the numbers he put up in Toronto, and I know they fell off as the season went on, but he put those numbers up behind a pretty average team. Well-structured, especially before they traded Phaneuf and ran into injuries, but not a great team. And those were league-leading numbers for a while. It's early in San Jose, sample size, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, most of the goals he's given up, the only loss he's got were on three power play goals. 5-on-5, he's been exceptional. There's a good structured team that he's able to kind of read things in front of him. And you know, you watch it and you watch him play like the other night, and you're like, there's no reason he can't be a starter. And yet that stigma sort of still exists that he's probably more of a 1A, a job share type guy, a Brian Elliott type guy. You know, and Elliott's a guy who we talked about last week. I think that he's the guy that should go with in St. Louis and give him a chance to show he can be a guy that leads you on a deep playoff run. Reimer, to me, is capable of being that guy too, but the questions and the stigma is there, and I think he will ultimately settle in this market as more of a tweener, more of a 1A. Too good to just be a backup, but hasn't proven himself often enough, long enough over a season to be, you know, a guy you ride as a 65-70 start goaltender as a number one. And there, like I said, a lot of signs he can be that guy, but until you've done it, those questions will always exist.
Looking at a recent trend, and I don't, you know, there's not enough numbers to say it's going to be a new trend, but I've seen more goalies start in the East Coast League than we have in, you know, recent memory. It used to be you'd go to the American League, be a backup, but now some teams are sending guys to the East Coast League so they can start more games, Kevin. Is that a new thing? Do you expect that to continue?
Yeah, I absolutely expect it to continue. It is a relatively new thing. You know, kind of quick story, 2007, Anaheim Ducks in the Stanley Cup Final with Brizgalov already under contract and Jagr about to win a cup. Everything is going great, and they sign Jonas Hiller in the middle of the Stanley Cup Final. They win a 16-team bidding war for Jonas Hiller's services, effectively forcing them to get rid of either Brizgalov or Jagr. Like, it gave them too much goaltending. It should have been a super positive, happy, everything is going right for us time. And I remember talking to Francois Allaire, who was the goalie coach there at the time, and he kind of said, this is great, everything is good. My only fear is we are going to start ignoring guys who are playing in lower-level minor pro in North America, that Jonas Hiller is the start of a run of let's go sign the older European and ignore what's happening in our backyard. And he was right. We started looking to Sweden. We started looking to Finland. We looked for guys who had played in their minor pro system and had success, and bringing them over and oftentimes giving them one-way contracts that left guys playing in North America pushed down the pecking order with less chance of getting called up. That has changed in the last couple of years. And using the East Coast Hockey League as a development platform has been a big part of that. There is a long list of names that have had success coming out of there. You talk to Francois Allaire now, talked to him a couple weeks ago about this, and he's like, we now send our goalie coach, our development goalie coach. If we've got a prospect, and he's, you know, he's not going to get a chance to get a lot of starts in his first couple of seasons in the American League because we've got, say, an AHL franchise that also wants to win, they put him in the coast. They send their development guy down there for a week or 2 weeks per month. And that's stuff that never used to happen before. You can let these guys learn without quite the spotlight on their mistakes, without having to worry about, you know, starting once every couple of weeks because it's their first year or their second year, and you're actually using it as a development ground. And that's a big change. It's a really big change, and it's a positive change. And the fact that they're not just being left down there to figure it out on their own, that was always one of the things that puzzled me. The reason we were looking to Europe for these guys, these minor pro guys, to bring over and give them one-way contracts, most of the time, even if they weren't in the top tier in their country, if they were in the sort of the B pool in Finland and in Sweden, and some of them were, the Eddie Lacks of the world, playing in Leksand, playing second division over there, they had a full-time goalie coach. Yet over here, it was rare just a couple of years ago for even American League teams to have a full-time goalie coach, and East Coast League teams, forget about it. Some of them hired a guy part-time, but very few of them gave that structure to the kids in their organization. The East Coast League was a place where you just dumped a guy.
Yep.
Now it's part of the development curve, and I think it's a real positive, you know, it's a sign that you need depth, because look how many guys have gone from the coast to the NHL this season, whether it's even just a game or two. You have to have that depth, and it's nice to see more and more organizations developing it here in their backyard and using that affiliation as part of the process.
Kevin, great stuff as always, my man. We will chat with you next Monday.
Pleasure is mine. Have a good week.